Thank you, everyone. My name is Curtis Pond. I'm the Vice President of Web and Mobile Strategies at IQ Solutions. We're a health communications and technology firm back in Rockville, Maryland. And today I want to talk to you about mobile and the One Web vision and what that means, and talk to you about all the different opportunities you might have as you're starting to build your mobile digital strategy. There's a lot of different places that it can lead you to, and there's a promised land, and there's a lot of frustration. But hopefully by the end of my presentation, we'll kind of find a light at the end of the tunnel so we can at least start to think about what we want to do is in terms of providing solutions to the customers we want to reach. Nothing to disclose here. So the One Web vision. So really, there's not a mobile web or a desktop web or even a tablet web. There's really one web that can be accessed by many different platforms and devices. So in essence, the goal of your content should be to live in someone's back pocket or be accessed outside of a doctor's office or shared with a family member or a loved one or a friend, or maybe even accessed late at night when the person isn't online or and has a internet connectivity, maybe through some sort of offline storage technique. So again, your content wants to live everywhere. Your content wants to be free, and I think that's the goal of any sort of good digital strategy is to figure out how to allow that. So I really want to emphasize again the importance of content as we're starting to talk about some of the mobile strategies that we'll be discussing. There's a great quote by Brad Frost, who's actually a luminary in my field, and he says that get your content ready to go everywhere because it's going to go anywhere. And that's really true nowadays with all the different devices and platforms, as I mentioned, and that content is just being accessed more and more through mobile browsers. Now, so I'm a big fan of the web because I do think it's a universal platform for content dissemination, and I think it should be one of the first discussions that you have when you're thinking about your mobile strategy. So this is one of the big questions that we constantly face before we start any sort of project, and it's how can we produce solutions that continually meet consumer expectations? And I think you can even expand that a little bit to have a dot, 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 and stay within budget, and don't have to be redone 6 months, 12 months, or even 18 months from now, and expand our analytics and increase our touch points and our web presence. So this is, again, one of those questions that can really start to frustrate you because you want to do the right thing. You want to get started off on the right foot and not have to rethink it and redo it over later on. So again, if you really start to think about consumer expectations and look at mobile, people expect to have your content on a mobile device. And I don't know if there's many content managers out here or technologists or aspiring technologists, but you know, I think we can all share the belief that it's an intensely personal experience. Your mobile device is the first thing you pick up in the morning. It's the last thing you put down at night. Yahoo released a really interesting stat, I think it was about 12 months ago, but basically it said, and it's stuck in my head too because I work with a lot of, I work with an NIH and HHS, but it basically said that more people were doing health-related searches on their mobile device than they were on desktop. And I think that just shows how personal it is and personal health is. So when we're talking about health and we're talking about mobile, I think a lot of it is we are talking about the web and that they're going to look for your content on their mobile devices because it is a very personal experience. So again, this is just one of those questions that I think you need to ask yourself. And as we go through this presentation, I'll probably keep coming back to the point of there needs to be a lot of discussions within your team and with other people on what sort of path you're going to go down. And once you even decide what that path, after you decide what that path is, there's going to be a lot of technologies that come at you. There's going to be a lot of things that get thrown at you in terms of hybrid web apps and responsive web design techniques, and native applications, and all the different platforms that are out there. And I'm sure that even by the time we finish this session today, that the phones in your pockets, there's probably going to be a couple apps that need to be updated. Someone in a laboratory right now thinking of the next big thing. We know the iPad Mini is coming out, or it's already out, and Windows 8 is on the horizon, which now it's causing me to sleep less and less because I start thinking about, well, is that solution that I came up with, is that going to work in a Windows environment? So it's really good to start planning for the future. And that's why I always put the emphasis on content. And if you understand your content, you understand what your content, what you want it to do, and how people are accessing it and having those real conversations, then I think you really start to build a good foundation for not getting sucked into what I call technology ADD and really starting with the technology first before you even understand what sort of problems you're trying to solve. And it always starts with content. And I'm so happy to hear the other presenters today because they all focused on content first in some way, shape, or form. And I always think that that's the best strategy to start with. But it took me a while to learn that. And I actually had to go back to the streets, to my roots, to understand how can I tackle this problem better, because I come from a technology background and I get very fired up about it and very passionate and I want to try everything. I want to touch every new device and, you know, it's the bright, shiny thing. But I'm reminded of the story of when the Air Jordans came out back when I was a kid. And I wanted the latest shoes. We all did. I mean, we thought that it was going to make us jump higher and shoot the ball better and pass better. And, you know, we all wanted to be like Mike. Well, we all got Air Jordans and my game. Well, I'm here today and not starting my NBA season, kicking it off right now. So that tells you kind of what my basketball game was like. The shoes didn't solve my problem. They looked great, but I wasn't putting in the practice. And I didn't have a really strong foundation. So, and I think this is a good example of technology that oftentimes we're very attracted to the bright, shiny thing. We think it's going to solve our needs for the short term and the long term, and a lot of times it solves our needs for the immediate future, but we lose sight of the longer vision and kind of where we want to be. And I suspect that a lot of us probably have Air Jordans in our technology closet somewhere, something that we invested in as CMS or some sort of technology, and we're scratching our heads now going, why did I invest in all that? So again, it really starts with a solid foundation, and I think, again, knowing the right questions to ask. So content and context, I think these are the first conversation that you should be having when you're actually talking about your mobile strategy. I love history, and I just moved back to the West Coast from the East Coast, but last year my wife and I were planning a trip to go see Monticello, and I was on the desktop site, and, you know, just getting all pumped about it and everything. Like, Monticello is beautiful. I had never been there. I love Thomas Jefferson. And it was just a great desktop experience. Well, we started heading out, and we had about a 100-mile drive. And of course, I was driving, so we got lost. And my wife, you know, goes straight to the smartphone and pulls up the site. And the site, it was a mobile optimized site, but right there, front and center, was a nice big fat button that said "Get Directions." And I was like, "Yes, that is exactly what I'm talking about." Because she doesn't know what I do. I always try to explain what I do, and she's like, "What do you do exactly?" I'm like, "Well, I build better user experiences, and I love usability, and I want to build good products." And I said, this is a great example. Someone probably had a conversation and said, why would somebody want to use our mobile website? What are they going to need it for? Well, I can picture the guy who's lost, you know, trying to get to our place. We probably should have our get directions up front. We probably shouldn't have the 360 flash tour of what Monticello looks like. They probably just want to get directions, maybe see what the itinerary is for the day. And that is context. Context is the setting, and content is what's inside. So why is that important? Well, there's a lot of different mobile user experiences that you can have when you throw in context. I actually shop with my iPad. I'm probably one of the few people who actually doesn't use the phone because I like the bigger screen. But there's a lot of different contexts, and I'm sure that you've all seen them before, where you're driving or you're shopping or you're stuck on the train and you see people just thumbing through stuff. That's what context is, and it's something that we have to take into account, I think, when we're providing mobile solutions and trying to come up again with how we want our content to actually reach people. So in terms of just some of the challenges that we face and how I kind of broke free once I went back to the streets and had to remember the Air Jordan example and just kind of having those conversations about content and context, was it really just goes back to strategy and research. It really goes back to knowing your audience and going back to some of the fundamentals and doing the stakeholder interviews and the user interviews and looking at your data and seeing how people are actually accessing your site through a mobile device. I can say that, you know, from my experience working with many NIH clients, that mobile traffic to their sites has exploded in the last 18 months. I'm talking exponentially. I'm just talking skyrocketing stats where for some of our clients, 20% of their traffic now is coming through mobile devices. And it's coming through smartphones. And that's where we, again, start making the case that it's time to start thinking about your content in a different way and really starting to think about the web as a means to start reaching more audiences through their mobile devices. But it starts with strategy and research. And then moving up to content and structure on this pretty cake here and our tasty little recipe we're going to build, it does. It goes up to content and structure. And I'm a big fan of structured content and taxonomies and relating information to each other. Because if you can get a good handle on that and you can put it in some sort of structured format, whether it's through CMS or an XML repository or some other technology that's going to help you control it, then I think it becomes future friendly. And I think when that next technology comes around the corner, you're going to be prepared. Your content's already ready to get out into that next portal, that next viewing size, whatever it is. It's going to be ready to go because you've already thought about your content and you did the work before that and you know who your audience is. And then we kind of just move up, and then we can figure out what the framework is, the flavor of JavaScript or the CMS that we're going to use or whatever else that you're coming up with. If it needs to be a hybrid web app that's going to work with HTML5 across the iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry with some sort of phone gap or titanium wrapper and all these other things that are coming at us as technologists constantly, That's the part that'll become a little bit easier because you'll have a better understanding of how those technologies actually work if you understand the foundation first. And then as we move up to the top, like that's the interface. Those are the pieces that I like. I'm the little guy on top of the wedding cake, actually, who's trying to make sense of it all and build better products. And it's not always easy. I mean, I get very frustrated with the pace of my profession, and I think we all do, too. And we don't always have time to do the research we want. So it's good to have those conversations. And me being in the consultant field, I'll just be kind of raw and unfiltered here. I really like clients to push us and ask really good questions and want to be involved in the process. I think the nature today of designing these types of solutions, it has to be very iterative. You have to go back and forth. You have to be able to touch that product that we're building for you as early as you can in the process. My colleague and I actually yesterday were coming up with a new a diagram for how a responsive web design process would work. And responsive web design is basically just a technique to shrink or expand the website depending on the portal size that they're viewing it on. So you use some of the technologies that we're familiar with, HTML and cascading style sheets, and we're going through this big giant circle of all the back and forth. And really what it came down to at the end of the day is this one bubble that I just wanted to blow up. It was called discuss. You have to keep discussing this as you're moving it along and seeing what it looks like through all the different devices. And if you're about ready to start a technology project or you're in one right now, ask for those screens. Ask to have it in HTML format so you can start looking at it as early as possible. Don't just rely on Photoshop JPEGs. Get your content, the content that you want to see in those different devices, early into them as possible so you can actually see how your content looks and start making better decisions about the top of the wedding cake, which is really building a good product. So I want to talk to you really quick just about a solution that we came up with as a team. This is for the National Institute on Drug Abuse. And this was a project really that actually started off as just a web redesign. It's something that we've done a million times at IQ Solutions. And as we started discussing it with the client, and it's a great client, by the way, we really just started going back and forth on future-friendly solutions and what would make sense for expanding NIDA's reach now and into the future. What's the best way to tackle that technology? So we actually started to adopt a COPE model, which is Create Once, Publish Everywhere. And maybe you've heard that before. NPR is a big proponent of it, BBC, a lot of big media organizations. And I'll say again that it all kind of does start again with content. They've really looked at their content and thought about all the different platforms that it's going to flow through. Well, for NIDA, we have a centralized repository, a centralized database, a content management system, where we're able to put it in there and then put it out into HTML, ebook format, a mobile format, and I think if we want to in the future, we can write it back to PDF if you ever wanted to do on-demand publishing. So, and it's all stored in one central database, so we don't have to go back into the ebook version and make a simple text update. It's all done once, and that to me is really what a content-oriented future-proof solution is. It's really thinking through your content early, really getting it structured, and then once you have that, that's the most powerful thing that you can do to start doing examples like this. And again, we're learning along the way. I think even NIDA's mobile presence has evolved since we first launched it. You know, there's mobile websites like m.nida.nih.gov. And since then, I think we've actually evolved it to more of a responsive website. So now we're not maintaining two different little feature boxes. And that was, again, there's a lot of lessons learned. And a lot of people have come up to me and asked, like, you know, how do I get started? I'm worried. I don't know if I should do, you know, X, Y, or Z. And I'm like, you know what? The fact that you're talking about it is the best thing. And put your toe in the water. We have some clients at NIH that, you know, their site probably needs to go through a bigger redesign, but we've taken some of the key parts of their site and we've actually built them to be responsive and then put it into an MDOT solution. So when somebody will actually go to their site through the mobile phone, it'll actually redirect to a mobile version of the site. Now, there'll be some people, technologists, will say, whoa, Curtis, that's not a best practice. That's not what you should be doing. And I would tend to agree, except this is a great way to get the client into the water. They're one of the ones, get their toes into the mobile waters. And eventually their strategy can evolve. But the fact that they're starting is the best thing. And they've already seen an increase, too. And they were one of the clients that had already seen an explosion in some of their mobile traffic. And it's just expanded their analytics really fast. So, again, a lot of people will tell you, well, that's not what they're doing or that's not what we've done before, but there is a right solution for you. And, again, I'm just a big advocate of knowing what your content is first before you jump into that solution. So I'm happy to answer any questions right now that maybe you might have. Okay, I'm just going to keep talking. No, I'm okay. Hi.
CMS always means the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, and I bet you have a different version of what that acronym is.
Right, and I actually have, yes, I have two versions. It's a content management system.
Okay.
CMS is a content management system. And there will be a lot of people who will talk about CMSs, and there's various flavors of CMSs. There is something such as Drupal, which is an open source content management system, and that controls the templates and the content for your digital presence. And there's some CMSs that people build themselves that might just be admin screens into the content that's living in a database. I like Drupal. I'm not going to advocate for one CMS over another, but Drupal has really come a long way since it first came out, you know, a few years ago, and it's up to Drupal 8 now, and it's a really cost-effective solution, and actually NIDA's powered by Drupal. So there are bigger enterprise solutions. CQ5 from Adobe is a big one. For example, AARP uses it. And there are other big media organizations that use it. So, and they're all starting to embrace the Create Once, Publish Everywhere model as well. So it's something to be thinking about if you're ever exploring purchasing a CMS and picking your next Air Jordans. Thank you. Great question. Yeah. Yes. So, for example, right, we're looking at an iPhone right now, but it looks really good on a Droid device, and it looks really good on BlackBerry. And that's what responsive web design is. And it's basically using a lot of the technologies that we've used for building desktop websites and applying them in a way that'll work for the different viewing portals across a BlackBerry, across the different OSs. You know, the new Windows device, it should look really well. It should format correctly. The feature boxes will all drop down in a nice way. And that's actually, it's exactly what the website for Monticello did, is that they got rid of all the navigation on their mobile site and really just focused on the core pieces, like get directions, plan your itinerary. And that's a great way to, as I've told clients before, to start getting into mobile, is going back and retrofitting some of your CSS to start making the site more responsive and really focusing the navigation for specific mobile contextual uses. And it can be a very cost-effective way too. So again, that's why the one web solution, I feel, just works for a lot of the different use cases that you may be coming across as you start to think of your own mobile strategy. So, and I will probably be around after this if you want to come up and ask any questions, but I'd just like to thank all the presenters today and everyone else for kind of hanging out. You know, there's a big parade going on, and oh yes, it's Halloween, all the orange and black, obviously, so, and I know some of you are trying to get out, but I'll be around for a little bit if you want to ask any questions. So thank you very much for everyone's time and for attending today. It's been great. I thought we had a really good...